right, so it's official. Mayor Ken is reelected. It's official. So, well done, Ken. Okay, so I was just going to mention to you that it's official. Mayor Ken is reelected. Congratulations, Mayor. You know what? What can I say? Okay, so I'll draw the obvious conclusion. A day late and a dollar short on the rest of the candidates who were a little less progressive, a little bit more conservative. I've got your results for, I mean, it's kind of sad, really. Now, Miguel Silva, who's been on the show so many times, came in second. Gina Montoya Ortega comes in third. The mayor becomes, or gets reelected third term. Ken Miyagashima wins the mayorship of the second largest town or city in New Mexico with 5,000 votes, 5,246. District 1 Councilor Miguel Silva, 3,382. Businesswoman Gina Montoya Ortega, 1,596 votes. All right, so that seat was up for grab, District 1. And Cassandra Gandara, it looks like, took it. And Eli Goose Guzman, right behind her. I hate to say this, Eli, and I know you're a good guy, but I honestly think if you had come on the show the two times that you were invited, in which you told me that you were going to come, I honestly believe that you would have gotten the 20 votes or 10 votes or whatever it is, 11 votes, whatever it separates the two candidates, cut that in half and add one for Eli. I think he would have gotten easily that many extra votes if he had just come on here soon. He came on the day of the race, and I'm not one to point fingers because I don't know what it's like to run for office, and I'm sure it's a lot harder than it looks to be, and I'm sure it's agonizing, and it's, you know, it's like being back in high school. So Steve Calderazzo drops out of the race but receives 106 votes during early voting because he dropped out too late. So if I guess the analysis was right, since he was probably the most conservative person in the race, his votes would have gone over to Eli Guzman. And, you know, I'm saying if he came on the show, I mean, it's just common sense. You know, it's like if you run advertising for your product, will people buy more of your product? All other things being equal, yes. But anyway, congratulations to Cassandra, who came on the show and is this very, very, very polite lady, very kind of feminine. Greg Smith, very close race, 962 over Phil Van Veen, who was on the show, 810. They were both on the show. Greg Smith is a guy that washes up well, too. He's very polite and makes a good impression. District 4, Richard Hall, 610 votes. Gilbert Vasquez, 183 votes. And Jack Eastman, I thought it was Eastman. Anyway, Eastman, 621 votes. So Richard Hall down by 10. It's 11 votes. Now, here's a whole nother thing, and I really liked Gilbert, and I thought he was a nice guy. 183 votes. If the city knew at the time that he was trying to sign up, serve if elected, those 183 votes go in which direction? Who knows? I mean, you know, I thought Richard Hall put a pretty good campaign on. Judge Miller Burns retires last month, and Kira Ryan is about 2-1 over Bill Kinsella. They both came on the show. Judge Ryan came on a little bit more, but they're both nice guys, and Bill Kinsella is a very friendly and polite guy. But Judge Ryan wins that one. So it's a minor race. but it's a big one for Las Cruces probably. And basically they ran the table on the candidates. But all right, so now this brings to mind the issue of the recall. Now, at the time, I liked the recall. I guess, I don't know, maybe I'm just kind of naturally a revolutionary, but I liked the recall idea because I felt the leadership of the city was not great. But now, you know, what Walt Rubel and other people were saying is if you had taken all that money and effort and gone out and gotten candidates, which at the time I kind of laughed at. I thought, well, this will build some momentum. And the fact of the matter is, we didn't, you know, if you're counting the Republican Party as your base or as your ideological home, you didn't even have candidates in the race. So you've got some people, very well-intentioned, very principled people who got involved in the recall, or scoundrels, according to your view, but I was impressed. But you got those people in there, you stirred the pot, and then it was felt a little bit flat when the race time came. So, you know, in hindsight is perfect vision, right? But you didn't go on the recall, which I think, you know, I thought the recall was founded on good grounds, that the leadership of the city was too far to the left and we don't have any, you know, growth or anything as a result. If you'd taken all of that momentum and put it into this race, what would it have looked like if you'd have had candidates or invested in the, you know, advertising? So who knows? But here's a little clip about Mayor Ken from KVIA.
Over Las Cruces, voters had to decide whether to keep their mayor or bring in someone new.
This was Mayor Ken Miyagashima's third race for mayor, and just like the last two times, he comes out on top. He was elected mayor back in 2007. He holds on to the seat over challengers Miguel Silva and Gina Montoya Ortega. As you can see these numbers, Ken Miyagashima with 31% of the vote. Next is Miguel Silva with 33% of the vote. ABC 7's Jamie Warren joins us now live from our New Mexico Mobile Newsroom with Mayor Ken Miyagashima. Jamie.
We're going to sell up moments ago. This entire room erupted into cheers as Ken Miyagashima was once again elected the mayor of Las Cruces. I'm joined by him now. Thanks for joining me, Mayor. You've been in office for quite some time now. You have another 4 years ahead of you. What is the thing that the people can look forward to?
Well, just continue the path that we've been taking. The city's doing quite well, but we can always work and do better. So we're looking to move forward, work on our downtown plaza, complete the police and fire command station on the West Mesa, East Mesa. We're going to redoing our largest road and rehab in the city's history, and just continue to bring in good high-paying jobs into the community. I think the residents will enjoy that.
Thank you so much. And we caught up with the other mayoral candidates earlier in the evening, and here are some of the issues that they say they want to be tackled during the next 4 years.
Well, we've been in this recession, and we still continue to be in the recession, and I think that was one of the things that was not discussed in detail, or was covered over.
We need to get jobs. We need to help these people. I'm born and raised here, and it makes me really, really sad to see that, you know, people from Las Cruces are suffering the way that we're suffering.
All right, so there it is for you. It is a little bit sad to hear the mayor say that we need to, you know, we're going to stay on the road that we've been on. We're doing pretty good. 29th, there was a 26th poorest city in the country out of all of the cities. And although it was touching to see the tears pouring down his face, and, you know, what else can you say? Here's a little dedication to the candidates who didn't make it. We do have a phone call, by the way. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning, Kelly. This is Greg. I just got a comment, quick one.
Yeah, go ahead.
You're right. Hey, he won. It's sad that Las Cruces didn't come out for such a turnout to vote. That's a small amount of people voting. And he did say on that clip that he was looking forward to bringing in high-paying jobs. I would like him to elaborate on that and how he's going to go about in bringing this in.
Yeah, I mean that is probably all he knows about the idea, is to repeat it, which was stated by Miguel and I think Gina. And it originally came out on the show that the guy who is the economist came on the show and said that, you know, getting minimum wage jobs is never going to push this city forward.
Right. Well, let's see what he does. The city gets what it deserves. There's not really a big voter turnout. And it kind of reminds me, he's looking like more and more like King Agrippa to me. Anyway, have a good day, Kelly.
Thanks a lot, Greg. Well, I just think it was nice that he decided to turn his back on martial arts and come back to the city. But anyway, here's a little for the losers. Just when I needed you most, Randy Van Warmer. Kelly, we're on a 617. Sorry, guys. Thanks for coming on my show. And I thought we did a lot of good shows. I admire the losing efforts, because some of those people run next time. But it's also good to see people running on what they believe and that they care about the city enough to try to devote part of their lives to it. 617 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450, 523-1450. The text line is back in action. It's out off of the critical care list, 805-618-805-618-0. And Mayor Ken, come back on the show. Let's have a little... Let's have our little reunion here. A little dedication here to the losers.
You packed in the morning, I stared out the window and I struggled for something to say. You left in the rain without closing the door. I didn't stand in your way.
Hey, it's Kelly.
Hey, good morning, Kelly. This is Sergio. How are you doing today?
Good, Serge. What's up?
I just wanted to go ahead and say a couple comments. I know you're off the air, which is okay. But, you played that song for the losers. And it wasn't the people who lost to this race, because they're actually winners, you know, because they got out
I got
there.
You.
The losers are the people of the
I got
city,
you. Hey,
you
Serge,
know, in the county.
Serge, let's put you on hold. Good points. Can I hear?
Okay.
Can you hear me? Can you
Hello?
Hear me?
Yes.
I'll put you on hold.
Sure.
Thanks.
Or visit us at mathmadeeasy.com.
AM Las Cruces with Kelly O'Connell. He has to drive down Valley, too.
Well, we got Sergio here on the line. Sergio called up to chasten me and remind me that they're not losers, they're winners, just because they came in second place. Go ahead, Sergio.
Well, yeah, you know, basically that's what I wanted to say. And I don't mean to sound brash or critical, but it's amazing to me that, the mayor said he wouldn't raise taxes, yet he did. And now he's saying that he's going to bring high-paying jobs, which he won't.
Well, maybe he's just planning on raising the minimum wage even higher, and those are the high-paying jobs.
Well, that, you know, every store, Walmart now, and they're going to start raising their prices before we even get the minimum wage. It's not going to affect us in the pocketbook at all, really. We're going to be the same kind of, you know. But, I mean, like I said, it's just sad for the people of the city.
It is sad, but, you know, and I mean, I was just kind of a joke, you know, just when I needed you most.
Yeah, exactly.
Little Randy Van Warmer to make you to suffer through, help the suffering. But I mean, here's the thing that I want to know. Number one, and I do salute the guys that did the recall, because I thought it was noble work and it was unfairly maligned. Number one, but how did that affect it? And if that effort and money was put into the election, and this is not, I mean, anybody can go back and say, we should have done a quarterback sneak instead of a pass in the end zone. Anybody can say that when the pass is intercepted, but I'm just curious what the outcome would have been. Number two, why can't the GOP run their own candidates? Number three, I mean, is it such a Democrat town that you can't even run a member of the GOP? And number three, I would just like to know why, if there is enthusiasm and there is their conservative movement in this town, why they can't get more people out to vote. I don't get it.
Well, here's another puzzling thing to me about the people, especially the ones that are listening this early in the morning. This city puts such an elaborate show of conservative ideology, and yet they're voting in a high degree for liberal.
Yeah, and I mean, part of that, Sergio,
it's amazing.
Sergio, part of that is, I think it's, you know, you look at Mayor Kennan, what do you see? You see the old teddy bear that was, you know, from your childhood that's on your bed, and it's a little bit it's beat up a little bit, and
sure,
the squeaker's broken, but I mean, it's familiar, it's comforting, it's, you know, you want to go up and give it a big,
you know, lovable
hug
and huggable type thing. Yeah. You know, but I'm gonna tell you something, Kelly, real quick, before I you know, let you go, is you know, I said it before and I'm gonna say it again, and like Greg had mentioned earlier, you know, basically what he was saying, paraphrasing it, you know, we're going to get what we deserve,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's the bottom line, because things aren't going to change all that much. I can probably attest
all right.
to that.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. Sergio, how about the people on the right that care the most, that they try to figure out a way to educate people on what economics are built out of, because we don't learn in school, and a little bit of American history. Maybe we can educate people. And it seems to me that there's more indifference in this part of the country than in other places that I've lived. And I don't know if it's true or not, you know, because if you don't grow up in a place, you can't say that you know it like the people that are native. But it just kind of makes me wonder, how does someone like Eichmann, is his name Eichmann?
I don't know.
Anyway, Eichmann, whatever. How does a newbie come in and get elected when politics, you know, somebody's interested in politics, they run for a high school president, and they run for university, you know, student body president, and they build relationships, and they spend their whole life trying to get ready to run. And it seems like here you got somebody who's arguably at retirement age, who's come in from another part of the country to run our city. Once again, there's no way that person knows our city the way that somebody who grows up here does.
That's another problem. We have a lot of people there. It's a diverse area, well, except for high population. And, you know, the thing I heard, a lot of people that I know were saying that they were going to vote for Ken only because they know some of his family, and his family's nice. I mean, that doesn't pair well with me. I mean, and like you said about these people coming in from another city, another state, they have no inkling about what's going on here.
Yeah, I mean, and here's the example. You could say, well, they come in, they get educated, they're oriented to, you know, but then you've got Wayne Hancock, who comes in and years after he gets elected, gets up and makes a ridiculous and nonsensical statement that the city population has doubled, or the county population has doubled since 2007, when it's gone up by 7%. And when those people are making decisions on your future and on, you know, that's the thing that's, I mean, if you're going to come in from another part of the country and within months or a year run for office, get into office, do you have to insult people after you get in?
Well, I think some of the people here like being insulted, you know, and like I said, I'm brash a little bit and maybe critical. But they're not willing. Look, my metaphor is you can feed most of these people in this country, for that matter, 2 5-gallon bucket pulls of slop a day.
Uh-huh.
And they'll gobble it up. You give them a teaspoon of truth,
and they
gag. They choke.
Well, that's probably true. And I mean, you know, a lot of the fast food is probably like that. But anyway, got to take a break here. Anyway, Sergio, thanks for the call. Got another call. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this?
Morning, guys. This is Jim.
How Jim, good morning. Today? Good. So how did it turn out for you?
Bad.
What could have been changed? Jim, what could have been changed?
Well, you know, Kelly, those of us that listen to your radio show are informed because we can hear the different guests that you have on. But, you know, when the newspaper comes out, I think I called in yesterday on this or the day before, when they come out and they say more good things about Vigil, than they did about Nagashima, you know, that's the majority of the people probably don't hear your show, and they say, oh, we got the newspaper, so let's just vote for Ken again, because basically I think they elected Ken mayor.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably true. It makes me wonder, you know, Walt's a smart guy, but I mean, it just really makes me wonder, if you work for a newspaper, does that mean that you don't understand economics? I don't get it.
Well, you know, it's the uninformed people that only, you know, like I say, Kelly, I said this before, and I didn't say it sarcastically. I said it for real. You need to run. You know, people know who you, man, I'm telling you. One more thing, and I'll let you go. I'm from Illinois. I'm an outsider who's been here 14 years.
Yeah.
And we moved away from Illinois, the state that has become very, very controlled socialistically and or worse. And we came here 14 years ago. This was a thriving community. We thought, man, this is a place to be. We still do weather-wise and most of people-wise. But we've seen how uninformed the population is down here. I'm not saying they're dumb or stupid or ignorant. I'm just saying uninformed because they do not know what it means to be able to take control of their government, oust people. You know, when you look at 55,000 people, Kelly, they're eligible to vote. And how many we have, about 6,000 or 7,000 that showed up for the mayor?
And I want to know how many of those people that don't vote. I called a guy last night who's an attorney. I won't obviously use his name, but ask him if he planned on voting. I was calling people last night and asking them to vote. Just get out and vote because it bothers me what the participation rate in this town is. And the guy launches into he starts lecturing me, and I'm like, you know, a single vote statistically is totally insignificant, which is – this is actually a very famous fallacy, which I'll try to remember the name of it, but it's a famous fallacy that if one vote doesn't cast the difference, which it does occasionally, then no votes make the difference. But that's like saying, you know, no drops of water added to the ocean make any difference when, you know, the ocean's made out of drops of water. So, you know, this idea that, you know, we have to be fatalistic, and then this guy says no person who's been elected in American history has made any difference. And I'm thinking, what kind of stupidity is this? And so I said Reagan was elected and he made a huge difference in his cutting of the marginal tax rate. That's the economic difference between Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan was astonishing. And this guy launches into this, you know, I used to teach, he said, I used to teach macroeconomics. And, you know, they've studied this and his tax rates didn't actually have an impact. And I hate getting lectured on stuff like this, you know, something that I've actually taken the time to try to understand. But anyway, so I got off the phone with the guy, but I just feel like there's a lot of people out there. This guy's lecturing me, bragging about not voting and saying that no votes matter. And that's his perverse sense of pride, you know, that he's cynical enough to see the truth. And I don't see it that way. I think these elections could have been won in this town a little bit more spending on advertising or whatever. I'll tell you right now, if Eli Guzman had come on this show, just like Nora Barraza, who was so grateful she never called me again. Nora Barraza won by 3 votes after she came on my show and to fight back against that letter from Austin. To the paper right or the week before. If Eli Guzman had not stood me up, I'll guarantee you he would have been elected because there would have been enough people who heard him who would have been persuaded. All he needed was 10 votes swing.
Yep. Yeah. I agree. You know, we're back to that same old thing again that, you know, I'm unfortunately the guy that called in several times and mentioned the person not willing to go on a public show and be asked questions that would pertain to his ability to do his job, then he shouldn't be elected. Well, I'm just saying if Mr. Guzman's listening, you better listen to what we're telling you. If you're going to run again, you better get out, let people know who you are.
Well, I mean, and I think he's a nice guy. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, though, you can't turn your nose up. These are small town races. You can't turn your nose up at major venues. No speech that he went to would have more people listening to it. And I guess he skipped a couple of speeches, but no speech would have more people that are listening every day here. But, you know, the people that are listening in when they're listening to the candidates, they are trying to find out what these people stand for, you know?
Sure. And that's why we listen to the show. And I think that still goes back to Kelly, to the people. I've been a lot, but my wife and I were just talking about this morning. When they get up in the morning, the first thing they do is flip on the TV and hear the news, Channel 7 or whatever. Don't even know your show exists.
Yeah.
And the paper comes out and says something more favorable towards Miyagashima's opponent, but yet the paper endorses Miyagashima. These people get the paper. Oh, well, paper endorses them. I guess it's good, so we'll vote for them. So well, next time you get Walt on there, ask him, what kind of thinking is it that when a paper does this, and then turns around and helps elect another person?
Well, I don't know. Okay. I mean, you know, Walt might have been in favor of Miguel. I have no idea. And I know that, you know, Walt has criticized the PVA, so he is not as far to the left as you know, some of the people that you associate with the industry. But I just think the thing is that, you know, you can become – it's like developing a hobby. You know, everybody's seen this. Somebody gets a hobby and they fall in love with something. It's a car, or maybe it's cigars, or it's having a garden or whatever, and then they become totally fixated on it, which is cool. You see people and they get educated and they're enthusiastic. It becomes the thing they talk about. That is not as meaningful as when it is translated, you know, to another person. I mean, you're really an advocate for gardening when you can get other people to garden, and you're an advocate for our political process when you can persuade other people to get involved and to value the things that matter, you know. And I mean, this kind of like dumb populism, this dumb democracy, this approach to politics is, you know, vote for me and I'll raise taxes and give you more welfare. That is killing this nation. It's killing this community. And if we could get some more people in that were really educated on economics and really had enthusiasm and a good spirit and educate their friends and neighbors, we could have a revolution here.
Well, you know, you said something that's very true. I was very fortunate to have, you know, like I say, I'm an outsider, but go back early 2000s to be able to have a chance to, you know, have my resume submitted to the Branch University and do a couple of courses for them in several occasions. And one of those was leadership. And you hit the nail on the head. Leadership is being able to put your ideas across to people, convince them that they are good ideas, and then have them follow you.
Yeah.
You just said that. And I think that's excellent leadership.
Yeah. And the mayor, I mean, props to him. He ran whatever kind of race he needed to do to win. But, you know, leadership is not acting like you're the smartest person in the room or
that's correct.
Talking down to people or laughing at them or just scoffing and dismissing them when they disagree with you. A real leader listens. More information beats less information. And you know what? The hardest thing in life to do is to listen to criticism, but it's only through criticism that you can learn how to become better.
Well, you know, I'll let you go after this, but one of the things I always tried to teach in the class was this. You can have a mediocre general. I'm not talking about bad, but, you know, decent general in an army or whatever. And if you have great forces underneath him, he's a great general. You can have a great general and have mediocre forces, he fails.
Yeah, and it is leadership, but I mean, I want to say this today because I think it's important. I think it's very important that we remember that who we are as people, who we are as Americans. We launched the most improbable revolution in history. We are a ragtag little colony living in the middle of nowhere and launched a revolution against the greatest military power the world has ever seen, and we wiped them out. And we did that because we were upstarts, because we were rebels with a cause, but we were people that had a better vision than the people that were trying to dominate us. And the people in the conservative movement, classical liberalism is what it used to be called, or it's used to be the original liberalism. We have our those ideas created the West. They swept across the world and they revolutionized the world, and they made the world a place where starvation didn't have to happen every day, where representative leadership was to be expected, where a Bill of Rights and Constitution were established. And we don't have to we don't have to embarrass compared to anybody.
No, and I'll let you go after this, but I can only say that God bless America, because that's why we were great.
That's absolutely true. Thanks a lot. Sure. We'll talk soon. All right, folks. Anyway, maybe a little philosophical after this. This was a defeat, but it could have been, you know, Reagan lost and then he won. But, you know, like I said before, no matter who you are as a politician, a radio host or whatever, you're nobody until you serve people. And you can't serve people just out of a personal cult. You do that through your ideas, you know. Anyway, 6:39, Kelly O'Connell Show. And 523-1450, call in. AM Las Cruces 1450 KOBE. Congratulations to the winners and to this people who came in second. Here is that dedication.
Now, I miss you more than I missed you before, and now where I'll find comfort, God knows. 'Cause you left me just when I needed you most.
It's Kelly, and we do have a call, 644. It is Kelly here. Who's this?
This is Chris.
I'm sorry, it's who?
This is Chris.
Chris, thank you for calling in. Hope you're doing well, and what's on your mind?
Yes, I had, okay, you know, looking at the results last night, you know, it's you know, pretty discouraging.
Yeah.
Those of us live out here in the county and get to sit on the sidelines and watch all the insanity happen in our city. So the other thing is that a coworker of mine who went to vote yesterday morning, she went to a place where she usually votes at, and they told her that she was disenfranchised. And
what did they tell her? Why?
That her address was in Mesilla.
Okay.
But there was, it wasn't just her. There was a group, there was a long line of people who were waiting, and they were told the same thing. So for whatever reason, I don't know what their reasons were.
Well, I mean, if they're out of the city, it's a city election, right?
Right.
Well,
but
I mean, that's
I
not,
I don't know about these other people.
Chris,
so.
Chris, that's not disenfranchisement in the sense that, you know, the franchise is the right to vote historically. That's what the term means. And so if she's disenfranchised, typically it means you've lost the right to vote. For example, you're a felon, right? But it doesn't sound like, it just sounds like she wasn't living in the city where the election was happening.
Yeah, she lives in the city now. She used to live in Mesilla.
She didn't change her address. She didn't change her, but that's on her, right?
From my understanding, she was able to vote last time. I mean, this was like 8 or 9 years ago when she had moved. So.
Oh, well,
but
you know.
She was pretty surprised. Yeah.
All right. So, Chris, well, if you were had a chance to talk to the candidates that you supported that lost one-on-one, what would you tell them? What words would you give them to if they were going to run again?
It sounds like they would have to try and win over the Las Cruces News Sun.
Wow.
I mean, yeah. I agree with you. I mean, Miguel spent a lot of time on your show, and he still lost.
Yeah, but look, we've got 5 or 10,000 people that are listening every day to the show, but it's rarefied company. You've already got the people that are going to support the more conservative stuff listening to this. Isn't it into the middle that the people have to go to draw candidates over to their campaigns?
Yes, but I don't know what they did. I don't know what strategy that they did. So,
well, Guzman not coming on the show backfired on him.
And I agree with that. I totally agree with that. I was pretty surprised that I woke up yesterday morning and then I hear him on your show finally, you know,
well,
the day of the election.
But, you know,
so.
here you've got, you know, I was able to get a hold of Cassandra. I didn't know if Cassandra was going to drop out over this text thing or whatever, but She seemed, their campaign seemed a little bit depressed when I called him, but I said, come on the show. People want to hear from you. And for him to not come and give a point counterpoint or give a balance, it just gives her an infomercial. She gets to talk about herself for an hour. Nobody really challenging her. And she is a charming person. So, I mean, I'm sure that a lot of people heard her and thought she's not so bad. She's, you know, she's a smart person. She's accomplished. She seems reasonable. That, I will guarantee you, despite anything else he did, is where the campaign was lost. And that was all within his power.
Yeah. He could have, maybe, I don't know, maybe he got a little overconfident. Who knows?
I think he probably just a little bit nervous. I mean, you know, I get on the radio every day. I'm not nervous. But if you haven't been on the medium, even if you're a confident person, maybe you just don't know how it works. And you think, what if I make, you know, I misstate one thing and there goes the campaign. So fortune favors the brave, Chris.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for the call. Hang in there, man. Don't get too discouraged. There's always another election around the corner. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Have a good day. Bye-bye. All right. I do have a dedication for Eli the Goose Guzman, and this is from, and we have a call here. Thanks for the call. Here it is, a little from the little drummer boy. Goose, you should have come on this show earlier.
When the day is good and the wind is dry and the goose is hanging high, I can't work like other men do when the goose is hanging high. When the sun is bright in the big blue sky and the goose is hanging high, the devil steals my heart away when the goose is hanging high. Gold and silver on my mind, mischief in my soul. I want to live like a rich man lives with life in my control. When the day is bad and the wind is wet and the goose is flying low, I gotta work like other men do when the goose is flying low.
All right. So, you know, I'm thinking about this race. The Republicans can't really complain if they were backing certain Democrat candidates and those people lost. Get your own candidates. I mean, why can't you, if you're passionate, if you're informed, if you understand how life works, especially in economics, in this place that's kind of halfway a ghost town with all the empty commercial property? Why can't you, if you're so smart, why can't you go persuade people? Why can't you get to know your neighbors? And when they complain about the state of disrepair in the streets and the property taxes and how their son or daughter, when they graduate NMSU, has to go to Arizona or Texas to find a job, or New York, why don't you just say, hey, look, you know, this isn't happening by accident. It's not just, you know, this isn't gravity. This isn't the force of, you know, some ineluctable, unstoppable force. This is a result of the decisions that we've made in this town. And, you know, one of the things that I would say to anybody who ran, including my friend Miguel, go after these people. When you see a sports game and there's a team that is just playing like it doesn't want to lose, you get a bad feeling in your stomach if that's your team. You have a debate. You got to go after your candidate. You've got to expose their. And I'm sure that Miguel did a good job. He got between 30% and 40% of the vote. And I'm sure that if Gina wasn't in the race, it might have totally changed the dynamic. It's distracting to have three people in the race, you know. But hats off to Gina for running. But take your shots, you know. Your opponent in a sporting match makes a mistake, take advantage of it. Don't just, you know, fall on the ball. Yeah, we've got another call. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Mike.
Hey, Mike, what's up? I can barely hear you.
Okay, I'll speak it up.
Thanks.
Okay, so first things first. I called before the election when you had Miguel and Gina on, and I called this before it happened. When you have two people working against each other, against a major liberal opponent, this is going to happen every single time.
Yeah.
You know, Ken won by probably 268 votes. I'm just going off of KVI data here. Also, with another thing being said, what about Steve Calderazzo? Was that framework by Cassandra's campaign so that he could beat Eli?
No, I mean, I met Steve. I thought he was – I have no idea. You meet somebody once or twice, you don't really know him. But it seemed like what happened was serious. But it, you're right. Him not being in the race by definition means that she loses. You know, I mean, those 100 votes don't go to her.
The question I have is who is in, I'm not saying there's got to be any party in charge. We have got to come together on multiple levels to get smarter people in these positions to help lead the candidates.
Yeah.
Because they're not smart enough, unfortunately, to beat this kind of thing.
Yeah, and
you
I
know,
mean,
we have four more years. Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
we have four more years of the same thing. Everybody that was elected wants to go ahead with a 10-10 hour increase. They want to raise taxes.
Mike,
mark my words, this is going to go another 2 years, and we're going to have more tax increases and more idiots trying to get you know, make us unbusiness friendly. Thank you, and have a good day.
Thanks, Mike. Can't disagree with that. I was going to try to squeeze a word in there. You've got to have leaders that inspire. I mean, that, you know, people are infuriated by Ken, his you know, his very pompous approach, and yet he's back in there. I mean, I don't even really care one way or the other. We got one more call. You got 5 seconds. Make your point.
I'll call back.
Thank you. All right, folks. Just when I needed you most, for the people that came in second, all my buddies. We'll be back after a break on the hour.
On AM Las Cruces with Kelly O'Connell.
CBS News, I'm Frank Sedapani. It takes more than a dollar and a dream to become president. You need at least $1,000, the cost of filing for the first in the nation New Hampshire primary. The filing window opened an hour ago. Democrat Martin O'Malley was quick to put in his paperwork. Republican Donald Trump is expected to follow suit about an hour from now. CBS's Major Garrett tells us sign-up day in New Hampshire is a big deal.
It's a media event, and it's a way to say you take the first-in-the-nation primary very seriously. That's a message New Hampshire voters in either party love to hear.
The latest Quinnipiac poll has good news for Republican Ben Carson.
My poll is dead even with Trump and would beat Hillary Clinton if the election were held tomorrow.
Quinnipiac's Tim Malloy says Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz were the only others in double digits among the Republicans, with Jeb Bush down at 4%. The shooting death of Fox Lake, Illinois Police Lieutenant Charles Joe Glinowitz in September was headline news across the country. But the presumed crime has turned out to be something else. Officials have concluded that Glinowitz died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. The search for his suspected killers was all in vain.
Pretty clear that this cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. The search went on for weeks. Many people in the area were questioned, and they never turned up any suspects despite that dragnet.
CBS's Dean Reynolds. It gets worse for Volkswagen. CBS's Vicki Barker is live with the latest.
The latest revelation, in addition to those 11 million diesel vehicles fitted with software understating nitrogen oxide levels, VW now says it's found what it's calling irregularities in carbon dioxide measurements for 800,000 cars sold in Europe, including some running on gasoline. It's the first time non-diesel engines have been implicated in the scandal, and it helped push the stock down nearly 10% in early trading, Frank.
A woman who is in charge of caring for Bobby Christina Brown at a Duluth, Georgia hospice where Brown died will be charged with impersonating a nurse, Police Major Don Woodrow.
You can't dispense medication unless you have a license to do that. Certainly that license is not there.
Brown died last July. He may not bend steel with his bare hands, but he is Forbes magazine's most powerful person in the world. Live CBS News correspondent Heather Bosch.
Number one in the rankings, Russian President Vladimir Putin. Forbes' Louisa Cole says he not only heads a major country, he's willing to exert his power in a way that's really pretty much unprecedented. German Chancellor Angela Merkel is second on the list. Outgoing President Barack Obama slips to third. Two presidential candidates made the list of 73, Democrat Hillary Clinton and billionaire Republican Donald Trump.
A survey of American businesses finds that private employers added 180,000 jobs last month. The government's more comprehensive October employment report is due for release Friday. S&P futures are up 4 points. This is CBS News.
You're a small to mid-sized business with 300 to 3,000 employees. You face the same network security challenges as big businesses do, but can't support a big IT investment, leaving your doors open to advanced cyber threats. Barracuda Next Generation Firewalls provide all the core features of enterprise firewalls and UTMs, but without hidden costs and deployment hurdles, making owning a big business firewall no big deal for your SMB. Reclaim your network. Try a Barracuda Next Gen Firewall risk-free at barracuda.com/firewalls.
Hi, I'm Joan London, and if you're worried about your parent or a loved one living alone like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. With one phone call, you'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. It's a free service, so call now.
800-391-1755. 800-391-1755.
If you want to lose a few pounds, take a hike. CBS News correspondent Jim Chenevy has the latest from the Health Watch.
Walking is good exercise. Doctors have been telling us that for years. But how does it compare to, say, a trip to the gym? According to British researchers, it's better, at least when it comes to keeping you slim. The study looked at men over age 50 and women of all ages and found that those who walked for more than 30 minutes had lower body mass index and smaller waist than those who took part in more vigorous activities like jogging and cycling. Walking was also more beneficial to overall health than strenuous activities like manual labor, heavy housework, and even sports like football and rugby. Jim Shenaby, CBS News.
You might not think that soda would be hazardous to your health, but Swedish researchers say that's the case. They found that men who drink two sodas or other sweet drinks every day have a 23% higher risk of heart failure than those who don't. Frank Setapani, CBS News.
Not available in California, Louisiana, and Virginia.
Listeners, do you have startup capital and want to invest in a business with incredible profit potential? Fresh Healthy Vending, the number one healthy vending franchise in North America, is growing fast, and we're looking for people right here in the local area to become Fresh Healthy Vending franchise owners and help our business continue to boom. If this sounds like you, we'll send you a free owner information kit. As an added bonus to new franchise owners, we'll also pay half the franchise fees. Just go to readyforfresh.com and enter code 6565. That's readyforfresh.com, code 6565.
Hi, I'm Joan London, and if you're worried about your parent or a loved one living alone like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. With one phone call, you'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. It's a free service, so call now.
800-391-1755.
Starting the day the right way with Kelly O'Connell and AM Las Cruces on KOBE.
Okay, we're talking about the local election, and pretty much everybody that the chamber backed, they lost. But, you know, these races, in my opinion, were doable. I mean, I hate to say it again. And I met him, and he seems like a nice guy, a smart guy, Eli Guzman. Stands up the show twice. Now, he told me the last time that he missed that he didn't have, there was no invitation. So, and then he came on the day of the election. But I mean, I will guarantee you the first time that he stood me up, no call, no show, that he knew. And, you know, sometimes we can all be subject of this. Sometimes it's fear. Sometimes we're just a little bit too clever than ourselves. Sometimes people think I've got this in my pocket and I'm not going to take this extra risk. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Jerry.
Jerry, thanks for the call. What's up?
I want to offer my condolences to the city of Las Cruces. I hope your illness will be over within the next 4 years. Kelly, let me offer this up to you.
Sure.
And to, I guess it's Miguel Estrada. Wasn't he the one from the first district that was a business owner and had a record?
Steve. Oh, that was Gilbert Vasquez, I think. And that was in the first
basket.
He wasn't in the first. I can't remember which one he was in, but I'll tell you in just a second. But all right. So there was anomalies in this race from one end to the other that could have changed outcomes. But go ahead.
I don't know. Is he a Democrat or Republican?
He is a Democrat. Everybody in the race was a Democrat, I think, except for Hall.
Mr. Hall. Okay. Okay. Well, anyway, let me say this. There's a position that is stronger in your county that is only elected by Republicans that is up every year or 2 years, I
what
believe.
What is it?
And it is the county Republican orchestrator who gets everything together for the Republican the party in their district. And what they do is they set up all these meetings. It's kind of like a Rance Prius, okay, but on a local level.
Okay.
And that is giving you power over what the Republican Party is doing. You can control the direction of it. Now, I hate to say that because I do know we have operatives out there that are from the other party that dress as sheep, but they're really wolves. You know, they're wolves in sheep clothing.
Sure.
And they can interfere with that and get that position and totally disrupt it. Then we also have things that most of us call rhinos, Republicans in name only.
Yeah.
They are also almost as effective as the operatives from the other side because they sit around and do nothing. And they sit there like ducks in a pond, whack, 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 when they can be out flying and getting to new areas and taking over new areas. And I didn't call in last week, couple weeks. I don't live in Las Cruces. I live in the Anthony area.
Okay. Can you hear the show down in Anthony?
Yes, sir. I get it down here, but the sun interferes sometimes when it's coming up. Then I also have an electronic device somewhere, my neighbor around here. Every now and then he'll kick it up early in the morning, and I can't hear it. But
okay.
That's the point.
All right. Oh, anything else?
Yes, sir. There was lots of things that were not brought up there, particularly with jobs. There were a lot in the past 3 years, there were a lot of solar systems going up around the Las Cruces area. If somebody brought in a business that built or repaired solar panels and such like that,
yep,
you could put 50 to 200 people to work easily. Okay. That and the desert Southwest has plenty of sunshine. That's one thing that we do have. So you need to take advantage of stuff like that.
Absolutely. Okay, Jerry, thanks for the call. Have a good day. All right, folks, I'm still thinking about this. Like, you know, it's a sporting match. I kind of got to thinking about this when I saw that the Republicans in the last few years had opportunities to go after the president. And you might say, well, why, you know, support the president? Why would you want to go after the president? Well, it's two parties fighting over their ideas, and the leader of the one party just happens to be in the White House. You know, you don't have to sentimentalize it or emotionalize it. You have an opportunity. Somebody makes a mistake. You take advantage of their mistake. That is politics. That's the two-party system. And the two parties are driven by different ideas and goals and, convictions. But the Republicans never really went, as far as I can tell, never really went after the president when he was down, when he was mistaken and on these various things. They tried to make a lot of hay out of this Benghazi situation, and they ended up with egg on their face. Team has an opportunity, and they go for field goals. They don't go for touchdowns, and it's frustrating. And so if I were Miguel, Miguel's a different person. He's a very charming guy. He's a smart guy. And this wasn't in his personality, I don't think. And maybe it wouldn't have made a difference, but I would have gone after the mayor to a great degree, trying to leave the job and become the county manager, and then failing in the first round. And he did go after him on some stuff, the lack of growth, the lack of a vision, you know, kind of this imperial attitude that he seems to have, that and I don't think it's with the mayor any deeper than the fact that he got elected. He's, you know, it's what Chevy Chase used to say when he was on Saturday Night Live. I'm Chevy Chase and you're not. I mean, I'm the mayor, you're not. I'm important, you're not. I'm smart, you're stupid. I'm the mayor. Don't talk to me. Don't criticize me. Who do you think you are? I've forgotten more than you'll ever learn. I mean, that seems to be his idea. His attitude and underneath that is just seems vacuous. It doesn't seem like somebody who, you know, if you really wanted to help a community, if you really wanted to help people, if your purpose in running for office was not trying to make yourself famous, nobody is ultimately famous in this world. You know, at some point, even Shakespeare will be forgotten if time goes on enough. You know, every people who were massively successful in their generation, massively important and powerful, are forgotten in the next generation. There's not that many people that are remembered in the history books, and maybe Shakespeare will always be remembered, but you know what I'm saying. And so the way to make an impact is to make the world a better place while you have the opportunity to do it. And the mayor really should have gone to courses at NMSU and study economics. Go get a freaking degree in economics. Go find out what drives economies. You know, Reagan, who's by far the most successful economic president of our lifetimes, had a degree in economics. And Bill Clinton and, you know, George Bush Sr. rode on the wave of his decision making, his tax cutting and his fiscal policy and his various programs. And the left is still fighting that legacy because it's so powerful. And if the mayor wanted to help the city, instead of pulling the Obama card, which is to go around and act like in every situation, you know, better than anybody else, you're never wrong, I'm the president, you're not stupid, shut up, sit down and shut up. Instead of having this attitude, which is really it's the kind of an attitude that comes out of a banana dictatorship. It's not really American. The American way is servant leadership. It is to serve. You're here to serve. You're one of the people. You've been temporarily raised up. You've been given a position, and the position is there for you to serve. And when you're not serving anymore, you should leave, or that you should be removed. And I mean, it was like something out of a comedy when the mayor gets up and says, we're going to continue on in the successful way that we've been going. I mean, I don't know if I ran for mayor, and I probably wouldn't have got as many votes as Miguel, but I would get up at one point and start reading off all the addresses of all the empty commercial property, you know, which would probably take hours. And then I would play a clip of the mayor blaming it on Amazon.com. El Paso seems to be thriving. Why doesn't Amazon.com shut them down too, you know? Anyway, Kelly here, ruminating on the loss. It's an opportunity, though. If the Republican Party could please get a clue and organize yourselves and put out a real candidate, and a candidate with some attractiveness, with some original ideas, or at least some informed positions, and get out and work it. You know, work. What would be wrong for spending a couple of years going door to door in your, why do you have to wait till the last, you know, spend it. If you're dedicated, go out and for years, I'm going to be, remember me. I want to ask you what you think of this community, and sorry to bother you, but I'm going to be running. And what are the most important things? Do you remember my name? I'm going to run. I'm going to remember your ideas. I stand for growth. I'm for building an economy that employs the children of the Las Cruces and Doñana families. You know, if you're dedicated to your ideas, if you want to serve your community, do that. 717 Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 at AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, and 805-6180 for your text. I'll read some text when we get back. It's 7:21. I've got some text here, but you know, think back. There was a day in the human history when people were a lot more educated, and well, you might say, well, they didn't know about the germ theory, you know, and they didn't have the internet and they didn't have cell phones. Well, there was a time when people are a lot more engaged in the events of the day, and the founding fathers, the group of colonists that lived during those times, they loved, maybe it was because they were a colony and they were a little bit cut off from Europe, but they loved to stay up on the latest news, whether it was political or scientific, religious, whatever. And now it seems like people really celebrate ignorance. And, you know, there is this kind of very perverse idea out there that if you're ignorant about, there's some people that believe this, if you're ignorant about things that you're a better person. If you don't know about politics, politics is dirty. If you don't know about politics, you're a better person. Religion is inherently destructive and evil. It has caused all of the human race's problems. Ergo, if you don't know about religion, you're a better person. I mean, this kind of ignorance that people celebrate is also obviously the path of least resistance intellectually, but it's brain death. People are not taught how to think these days, and in the history of mankind, of womankind, when the school system was first set up by Charlemagne, Charles the Great, in Europe and France, you know, the beginnings of education that were offered to average people. Not just the elites like they did in Rome and Greece, but the purpose was to train people so they could read, so they could understand the Bible and how to be saved and everything. That was part of it. But you developed this educational system that really took the cream of the crop out of the classical world, used that, and also information about the Bible and stuff. But you use that to train people how to think. And therefore, for the rest of their lives, how to think rationally. For the rest of their lives, they're able to defend themselves intellectually instead of just being pawns. And I know this guy, he's a nice guy, but he hates George W. Bush worse than Satan. To him, George W. Bush is the worst person who ever lived. And it's just a result of being exposed to propaganda. And if you're not educated, if you don't know how to think, you cannot possibly defend yourself intellectually. You're just a pawn. And that's what most people in this country are now, because we've stopped teaching kids how to think rationally, how to detect fallacies, that type of thing. All right, so here's some texts. That's the thing. I do talk to neighbors. Nobody seems disgusted by conditions in my neighborhood besides me. That or people are too busy working, trying to make ends meet and raise their families. People don't want to stick their necks out. This is a huge hill to climb on many respects. The paper is supporting the status quo. That doesn't help. And absolutely, Mr. Mayor could at the very least inspire people with motivational remarks. Even if he doesn't get an economics degree, we'd at least remember he said something worthwhile. And maybe people have to be pounded into the gutter before they wake up. I feel that when I drive around town, I'm looking at the Oregon Mountains and see, at least I have my beautiful mountain peaks to appreciate. Oh, wait, Mr. Mayor gave them to the federales. Yeah, and I mean, I think there's this kind of leadership and politics that the mayor is kind of tapped into, that the president exemplifies, of attacking. You know, there's this anti-Americanism out there that's boasts of being more sophisticated because it's willing to criticize itself. And so what it really is an attack against America, our institutions, our history, It's very destructive. It's very self-satisfied. And it's totally ignorant of the history of the world and where we came from, what we've overcome to get here. I guess I'm in kind of a philosophical mood today. All right. Here is, what are the local election results? Already, okay, so the local election results that this text just came in, Mayor Ken wins 5246 or 51% of the vote to Miguel's 3,382 and Gina Montoya Ortega's 1,596. So Miguel got a little over 30%. I think Gina got 17%. That's one of the outcomes. Cassandra Gandara won her race. And these were very, very close races, though. And I was thinking, you know, if Eli had just come on the show, you can blame, he can blame it on whoever, but I'm calling him out after he misses the show and he never calls me. You know, I know people said, I heard Kelly say something on a show about you today, standing him up. Why don't you get a hold of him? So he just left it out there. Is that why he lost? In my opinion, I don't know why he lost exactly, because that would cover his whole campaign. And I'm sure that he ran a good campaign because it was very close. But I can guarantee you in this one instance, if he had simply shown up for the two conversations that I had scheduled with him, he would have won. All he needed was 10 people to decide they were going to support him. And then you had Cassandra Gandara come on and have a whole hour by herself, totally unchallenged, totally at ease, able to talk about herself. And so that's, I mean, I don't know everything, but I do know that if he had come on the show and simply showed up, you know, what does Woody Allen say? What's the old joke? 90% of success is just showing up. So, and I am, let's see here, Kieran Ryan is elected by about 2-1 over Bill Kinsella. Yeah, let's see here. Putting in to get those numbers for you. The other, here we go. But anyway, so here is your numbers for the other ones. I already did the mayor. And District 1. Cassandra Gandara, 871 votes. Eli Guzman, Eli the Goose Guzman, 853. So 10 people, 12 people switched their votes. You know, you're telling me in two separate appearances he couldn't have convinced 10 people to support him, 12 people, 15 people. Calderato takes 106 votes out of that race. Somebody asked me, was it a conspiracy? Did he come in to take the votes away? I don't think so. It seemed like a sincere guy. Greg Smith wins in the District 2, 962 over Phil Van Veen, 810. Richard Hall, 610 votes. Gilbert Vasquez, 183. And Jack Eichmann, 621. So Min beats Hall by 11 votes. So that's 5 or 6 people changing their vote. But here's the thing. This is my one question. I like Gilbert, and I thought he was an attractive candidate. But if he could not have served, you know, at the time that he registered to run, should the city have allowed him to run? And in that case, I don't know who wins. All right. And then the last vote, Karen Ryan, 6,184 votes to Bill Kinsella, 3,139. You know, Bill Kinsella got quite a few votes for, I don't think that he did, maybe, I don't know, maybe he ran, did a tremendous amount, but it didn't seem like he was doing a lot. But anyway, so those are your results. But I think that if the conservative movement wants to do anything in this town, you have to have a party. You can't borrow the Democratic Party, excuse me, to run your race out of. So why didn't the GOP run candidates? I mean, that maybe for the same reason they've never called me. So you've got to educate people. You've got to, if you're a conservative, take a little bit of time to talk to the people that you know. And I was, you know, kind of going over this history of education. There used to be political talk out of the pulpits, if you can imagine that. And they claim that all the great ideas out of the American Revolution were first shared in the pulpits before they were brought into the Constitutional Convention. Isn't that amazing? So now we're ignorant. It's like we're in a coma and we're just so, you know, satisfied with ourselves. But we wonder why the economy's not stronger, you know? All right, it's 7:32. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. 523-1450, 523-1450. I'll read a few more texts when we come back. It's 7:36. Real nice outside. And getting to be that time of the year, kids. All right, so I was talking about taking risks, and by the way, it's 50 degrees out there. Taking risks. So Cassandra Gandara is in the middle of this. She's in the middle of this kind of a little scandal over sending out a text and everything. I call her campaign manager up at Helica. I have a conversation with her. I don't hear back from them for a day or two. I think I called them again, and then I get a phone call that they're willing to come on the show. And it was just Cassandra who showed up, but she took a risk. This is a conservative show. And so she comes out and she makes the most of it. She put on a good performance. She was charming. And while you might disagree with her politics, it's like what I was saying, you're in a game with someone and, you know, you have to take advantage of the mistakes of your opponent. And it was an enormous mistake for Eli the Goose Guzman to skip the show twice. It gives all of the bad impression. Now, he might come back and win. He might learn from his mistakes and not a bad guy, you know, but he made those mistakes. And I think in this particular race, it was a fatal mistake. Now, maybe he thought he had it in his pocket, you know, but she was under fire and she could have quite easily drawn the conclusion that she was going to come on the show and I was going to pound her on the scandal and this and that. But she took the risk and she came out and she put on a good show. And, you know, the main thing was she was all by herself. She didn't have to worry about what Eli was saying about her because he wasn't here. And so, you know, to her credit, now she's in office and he's not. All right, here's some more text for you. Why didn't the mayor's wife step forward and say what he did to her? I thought the incident had led to a divorce, and that had to do with, I guess, the police report that was brought to the show that they said that there's a police report that the mayor had beat his wife. And I just, you know, as a defense attorney, I kind of felt like I had to advocate for the idea that if it, you know, you got to, you know, you need a prosecution to find out what happened. You need so anybody can file a police report. And I'm not saying that he didn't pound his wife like a steel drum. I have no idea. But if that information comes on the show, I've got to be a little bit critical. I got to treat it in a critical manner. All right. Another text, maybe the elections here were rigged. Maybe they are rigged. I don't know. Congratulations to the winners. I didn't vote for a single one, but they won fair and square. So let's see if they can lift our city or not. The people who won, did they run on lifting our city? I don't think they did, but maybe they will. Why wasn't the third person who withdrew removed from the ballot in Eli's district? It's all computerized. Who made the decision to leave the name on the ballot? I believe, Lydia, that has to do with the law. We are the 20. Here's another text. We're the 24th poorest town now, but we have four more years to become number one. Sorry to miss the show today. Out of range. All right. Oh, here we go. Here's from Kathy. Sorry to miss the show today. Out of range in the northern part of the county. It will probably be a bunch of crybabies calling for a recall because they couldn't win the normal way, the popular vote. Still, I'm sure Ken will continue to work for all Las Cruces, even the whiners and jokers. Kathy, Kathy, for a person who's extremely cynical, you've got a touching level of confidence in your mayor that seems to be totally outside of any of the past history. All right, so, okay, so I've got a bunch of texts from previous days, but anyway, I'll take a break here. But here is a little here's a little salute to the Eli the Goose Gooseman, who I hope runs again, but the goose was hanging low for him, unfortunately. The goose hung low. He didn't come on the show when he could have.
When the day is bad and the wind is wet and the goose is flying low, I gotta work like other men do when the goose is flying low.
Okay, 7:43, so anyway, just kind of like, you know, picking up the pieces of this election. It was a winnable election. I cannot blame Richard Hall. He called me up and asked me to have lunch with him and talk about his campaign. I was impressed by him. I think he would have been a good counselor. I'm sure Eli Guzman, the goose, would have been a good counselor. You got to win before you can do that, though. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hello, good morning. This is Beverly.
Hey, Bev, what's up?
Courtney.
Bev, what's up?
I just want to complain a little bit.
Okay, go ahead.
You say that the Guzman didn't come on your program, and I know he didn't go to the KRWG and the Sam News, but people do not perceive the media fair.
Well,
and useful. I mean, he gained 11 votes.
Bev.
The people listening to your program already voted for him, probably.
Bev. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
The media may not be fair in general, but and you're lumping me together with the media. But when somebody comes on my show, I do my best to let them tell their own story.
I understand. And so you had Cassandra Gandera, and she was under scrutiny for not obeying the law. Did you talk about that?
Did you listen to the show?
No.
All right. So then I
try to listen to your show, but I don't listen to it every morning.
Bev, you know, look, talking over me is not going to have it make a good show for today. I did ask her about that, and I think that it is a little bit ridiculous for you to challenge me about that when you didn't bother to listen. But in any event, he was invited on that show, and it was his opportunity. Do you see the sports metaphor? You're playing football, and the other side keeps throwing interceptions or fumbling or making stupid mistakes, and all you can do is try to kick, you know, be conservative and kick field goals. It was absolutely ridiculous. If you want to defend Eli Guzman, who's a nice guy, if you want to defend the goose and say that he skipped the media because nobody's fair, and then he didn't come on my show because everybody's voting for him anyway, I totally disagree with that. There are people that listen to this show like Kathy that are pretty, you know, and Frankie that are pretty liberal. There's other liberal people that listen to the show that are independently minded enough to listen to the show in the center, in the middle, who will go one way or the other. And I will guarantee you the fact that him repeatedly not showing up, and it was even mentioned in Walt Rubel's column, made a bad impression on people. And people at some level are going to say, is this kind of guy going to show up for the meetings? Is he going to be, go ahead.
Well, I really wished I could have listened to Gandera's show with you, because I'm very interested in these people obeying the law. And as far as the Sun News, when I went and did an interview with them, the other candidate, my opponent, couldn't even follow the topic, and they still endorsed her just because she's left progressive Democrat.
And
that makes sense. She still doesn't make sense.
Bev, that may be true, and we need more candidates like you to run out there. But, I mean, ultimately, I would say the loss is on Eli for, I mean, you can't skip stuff and think people are going to say, well, this guy is so principled, he doesn't go to anything. People are just going to say he's intimidated, or he thinks he's got it in the bag, or he doesn't care.
Well, the media, he knew, would bend it far to the left.
All right. So then, okay. All right.
Every little mistake.
Beverly,
change it to their advantage. And the whole
process was a mess. He's a principled warrior. He's running for office, and he knew he wouldn't be treated fair because of the fact that he would be in the media and they totally bend it to the left. He doesn't come on my show because he knows that he's got all these votes in his pocket. He still lost 20 votes, which is really 11 or 12 people switching their votes. He made a mistake and he paid for it. He should have come on come on the show with Cassandra Gandera. It was up to him. He's the representative of that movement. It was up to him. The responsibility was on him to challenge her. It's not up to me to bring somebody on my show and embarrass them and attack them. She had the courage and the confidence to come on the show. He didn't. He missed a golden opportunity to expose her record if she's got a bad record, and he simply didn't care enough to show up.
Well, do me a favor and tell me what came of her using government.
She's in office, right?
For campaigning.
She's an officer. Bev, I am not going to bring somebody on my show and attack them. If you come on my show, this is the only show in town. This is the one place where people on the left or people on the right can show up. And
it's not my
style to attack people. And
if something's important, I will bring it up.
I did bring up the text thing and I allow her to talk about it. And she said, I made a mistake. I take responsibility for the mistake. But how can you look at Eli and say that he is this genius who understood, he played the media so well.
I never said that.
You're implying that he was smart enough to avoid the media. Look at the way Trump plays stuff out. He takes the opportunity and uses it to his advantage. He goes ahead in the polls. Eli Guzman, you're saying, was so smart that he didn't have to come on the regular media, and then he loses by 10 or 20 votes. That's ridiculous.
For
him to not come on this show is absolutely absurd. He did come on, by the way, the day of the election.
Okay, would you please tell us your text, because I have a picture I would like to send you, if you would.
No nudes. Folks, don't send me nude pictures. This is a family show.
It's not. It's a woman in a red dress.
All right. So look, Bev, listen, you've been in the machine. You've had the experience, and maybe you were mistreated by the media to some extent. But, you know, I know you well enough that if you were running and if I had invited you and Cassandra, if you're running against each other, you'd show up. I know that.
I know. Typically, you don't even want me to show up. You try to keep me off.
Like right now, I cut you off, right?
You should look at the electoral process.
I should look at the electoral process?
Yes, from the law perspective.
All right, I'm ready for your lecture. Go ahead.
We already experienced their manipulation, right, when I was running. And we saw how they, you know, they bend the rules and they make rules.
Because we're running out of time. I got to take her. I'm going to say this to everybody else. We got another call. There's one place in town that you can have a conservative opinion. Turn down your radio, by the way. There's one place, one venue in town where if you're a conservative, you're not going to be cut off and you're not going to be misstated. And it's right here in Eli Guzman. He might be the greatest guy in history, but he didn't show up. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Thomas.
Hey, what's up?
Well, I just wanted to call in. I'm listening to the program, and Mr. Guzman didn't come on your program previously. I think it's the same attitude as a lot of people in Las Cruces, unfortunately. They're not open-minded. They're not critically minded. They are fearful, I think, of being able to enter into dialogue, honest, open, intellectual dialogue with maybe their opponents. And that's one of the reasons why we, no one wants to talk about it, but one of the reasons why we fail economically and otherwise is because we're not as open-minded as we could be. I'm not suggesting that anybody change their mind. I'm just saying open your mind.
I agree.
Be respectful and dialogue.
Thomas, I can barely understand you, but I agree with what I heard. Thanks for the call. Have a good day. Run out of time, folks. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly. This is Richard Hall.
Richard Hall, I thought you ran a hell of a race. I got no criticism of you. It was so close. It was agonizing. Nicely done, and I'm sorry you lost.
Well, I appreciate all your help. You're a wonderful moderator, and I just think everything you do is fair to both candidates on each side. And, you know, we can try again next time, or
Richard, see what happens. Richard, will you come on and talk about your experience running and maybe give some advice to people?
I would be glad to.
Okay,
yeah,
thanks. Thanks for it's great to get to know you. Thank you very much. Folks, would I want to run for office? I mean, it's like high school again. I don't want to know how many people hate my guts out there. Here's another call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly, it's Karen.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, I have to say that listening to Bev, it really, really bothers me that she was so stuck on that one mistake that Cassandra made using, you know, her business cell phone, her government cell phone, and you know, that she didn't take into consideration that even in the newspaper, Cassandra admitted it. She accepted the blame, and she had a lot of. I once have voted for Cassandra. She and I go to the same church, and she is the kindest woman ever.
She's one of the most charming people that I've ever met. Yes. I was totally blown away by her. I happen to disagree with her political ideas, but you know what? She came on the show knowing that Eli could come on and try to tear her to shreds for these illegalities, and she had the heart. She had the courage of a champion.
Yeah, she's an amazing woman. I'm happy she won. It was fair. But I just really need to have people stop and think what Bev just did. That, you know, Cassandra was new to running for office. She admitted it. I mean, that's what people should do when they make a mistake. And then here is Bev, you know, for one incident trying to slam her with this. And this is what's just so gross about politics. It just knock it off.
Well,
you know, I would go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say it's my fault because I didn't go after Cassandra Gandara, even though Eli didn't bother to show up because nobody in the media treats anybody fair. It's a travesty for her to say that. I like Bev, but.
Yeah, but you did, and Cassandra had addressed it the week before. So it's just, this is what people don't like when people like Bev come on and do that garbage.
Yeah, it's
anyway.
Okay, thanks for the call. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hello, it's Bev.
Bev, let me put you on hold. I got a couple ads and I'll come back. Okay, I just got to get these ads. We'll be right back. All right, folks, and we're going to come back and talk to Bev and round two. 7:55 Kelly O'Connell Show, almost out of time, but Bev's going to have some interesting stuff, so hang in there.
You don't have to climb on the roof.
Bev, we're off the air. Bev. Can you hear me? Bev, can you hear me?
Yes.
So what are we going to talk about?
It just seems fair to me that she defends Cassandra for a mistake, one mistake.
Yeah.
And says that it's trash, but all day long she sits there and listens to you bash Eli for making a mistake by not showing up to your program.
Well,
I mean,
look,
come on.
Bev.
That's hypocritical.
Bev. You know,
calling me a
Bev,
trash,
listen,
and that's
Bev,
hypocritical. These people,
Bev, I'm gonna drop the call if you talk over me on the air next time. You can't do that. People can't understand what's being said.
Well, I apologize. I'm trying to.
Well, just hold your tongue when I'm talking. Now, you know that Eli should have come on the show.
I know, a mistake.
I know. I'm just saying it cost him the election. He's a likable guy. But he didn't, for whatever reason, want to take the risk.
Their election is stacked. They made sure they win. All dishonest and manipulating.
Bev, 20 points or 20 votes. If he got 12 or 13 people who were listening in he had 2 whole hours to make it an argument for himself. He couldn't persuade 13 people to change their votes? Come on.
I listened to Cassandra's victory speech. She didn't say not one thing about the city.
Hold on. We're on the air.
Apparently not the leaders.
Beth! We're on the air.
Supported her. Hello.
Folks, Kelly here, and I got Bev here. Bev, go ahead.
I admit that Eli made a mistake by not showing up, but I think it's hypocritical to pick on Eli for his mistake and then forgive Cassandra for hers and say that.
That's not the point, Bev. The point is that her mistake was a legal mistake. His mistake was a tactical mistake. I'm saying that his mistake.
Right, exactly. Which is more important?
Bev, don't get on the show and start bellowing. And then I'm part of the media that's part of the problem. And this is the only place in the whole county where people can actually get up and speak their mind.
Okay, let me tell you one more thing.
We're almost done.
Okay, if they had not had two disqualified contenders, the conservatives would have stomped the liberals.
Well, maybe next
but
time
both
around.
Both of those guys, one was illegal and one
okay.
had withdrawn his
okay.
name and
all right.
refused
fair
to
enough.
Take them off
fair
the
enough.
Ballot.
Okay, thanks for the call. All right, folks, if you call up, please just don't talk over me. It's not the medium to do that, you know. Thanks for the call, Bev. We're out of time here, folks. Well, you know what? Tough luck. Suck it up and do it better next time. Look at what Tom Brady said when he was intercepted by – you know, Richard Sherman got up in his face. He says, when we win, we do it with grace. When we lose, we do better the next time. Have a great day. Kelly O'Connell Show. AM Las Cruces 1450 KOBE. Ciao.